Hi, friends. Glad you could join me today. Let's begin our service with a prayer found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to you who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to you be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Wow, just to think that he can do so much more than we're asking or thinking. And that certainly ties in with the passage of the pep talk that Jesus shared with his disciples. Have you ever had one of those aha moments? When you're studying the scriptures, you're looking into the Bible, and all of a sudden a breakthrough happens, a discovery that is just like, aha, I see it. I've had those on various occasions in my Christian life. And this is what happens to the disciples at the end of chapter 16 of John's gospel. There is an aha moment. The breakthrough comes. Notice, first of all, that the aha moment comes with, we can pray with confidence. That's brought out in John 16, beginning in verse 23 to 28. And so in verse 23, it says, in that day, and I think in that day is referring to the ascension, when he has ascended and gone back to the right hand of God the Father. He says, you will not ask me about anything. Well, during this time, they're asking Jesus questions. They're used to asking Jesus questions. In that day, they won't be asking questions. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. So the new habit is going to be to pray to the Father in the name of Christ and receive answers. And recall that in the name is more than just repeating a phrase. It means you're asking the kind of things that Jesus would want you to be asking. It's things in the New Testament, in the Bible, that indicate the thoughts and mind of the Lord, that those are the things he would want me to be praying about and receiving. And then he says, until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Well, as Jews, they certainly have prayed in the synagogue probably throughout their life. But this is new to them, to pray to the Father, to address him as Father, and do it in the name of Jesus, based on the authority of Jesus, who will be at the right hand of God. That's new to them. And so then he adds, ask and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. This implies that we're making these requests, we're asking these things in the name of Jesus, asking the Father, we receive them, and that gives us greater joy. Now, we certainly know that praying Christians are more peaceful Christians, enjoying the peace of God. This implies that those who are praying to the Father in this way, they're going to have more joy. So praying Christians are joyful Christians as well. And then he says, I've been talking to you in figurative language up to this point. These things I've spoken to you in figurative language. And he recognizes talking about a vine, talking about a woman in labor. This is figurative language, trying to help the disciples grasp these important truths, which were so hard for them to grasp. And now he's acknowledging, I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. And he says, in that day, the day when he's ascended, you will ask in my name. I do not say that you will, I will make request of the Father on your behalf. There will be Jesus at the right hand of God. And our practice will not be to say, Jesus, will you talk to your Father for me? It reminds me of those times when you've got two friends who are mad at you. And both friends might be in your presence and they won't speak to each other. And the one friend might be standing right next to you. And the other friend comes up to you and says, would you ask this person about this? Or would you tell this person this? It's kind of humorous, isn't it? That you have someone asking you a question of someone else who's standing right next to you. But because they're angry at each other, they won't talk to each other. And sometimes I think we approach God that way, as though God the Father, he's maybe angry at us. And so maybe we can talk to him through Jesus and we can say, Jesus, will you talk to the Father for us? And we've got our understanding, our theology about God completely wrong. The Father is not angry at us. He's not uncaring in terms of what's going on in their life. And so Jesus is saying, you don't have to talk to me to talk to the Father. I'll be at his right hand, and you can talk directly to the Father about these concerns, these burdens, these things that weigh on your heart, the things that you know you should be praying about. And he's saying, he points it out in verse 27, for the Father himself loves you. He uses a Greek word for loves here, which is a friendship kind of love. It's a caring, tender friendship kind of love. It's used in chapter 5, verse 20 of John's gospel that the God the Father loves God the Son in that way, with that friendship, caring, tender kind of love. They shared it together. Jesus shared that kind of love with his disciples, that kind of friendship, caring kind of love. But sometimes we're not certain about the Father. We can't see the Father, so we wonder, is he angry at us? Is he off in a distance? I can be warm in my approach to Jesus, but what about the Father? And Jesus saying, no, that same kind of tender, caring, affectionate kind of love that we share together, that's the Father's care, affectionate kind of love to you. And he points out in the next part of the phrase, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. The Father has that kind of affectionate, tender friendship love towards you, and he wants you to come before him and talk to him about what's on your heart, just like any heaven and the earthly father would want his children to come and share what's on their hearts, what they're glad about, and share the things that they rejoice about and the things that they're sorrowful about, and come freely and share those things. Now Jesus says that he's going away in as plain a language as he possibly could. In verse 28, he says, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going back to the Father. It couldn't be stated any clearer than that. He came from the Father. He came into the world. He's going to leave this world and he's going back to the Father. And so he's leaving these disciples with all that they need to be totally confident in their prayer life directly to the Father. But there's another aha moment that comes in the last part of chapter 16 of John's gospel. And that's the aha moment that we can live with peace. At the end of chapter 14 in verse 27, there was a lot that Jesus talked about how we can experience peace. Now he gives us more thoughts, because remember, we're in a world of turmoil. We're in the world where there's discord and there's divisiveness and there's hate and there's no peace that's a lasting peace. And so he gives us more thoughts that we can experience in this world of hostility, this world of broken relationships. You can experience peace, and the aha moment comes. Verse 29, his disciples say, lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using figures of speech. Now we know that you know all things. There's the key to experiencing peace in a life filled in a world with lots of discord and lack of peace. It's the person who realizes Jesus knows all things. And really accepting that he knows all things. When you go through things that you didn't know about, you can still have peace because he knew all about it. He knows all things. The next peaceful thought that comes with the aha moment is in the next verse, in verse 30, and you have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. It's like the disciples saying, we don't have to ask you anymore where you came from or where you're going. We're clear in the answer. We don't have to ask you any more about those things. And now we know that you have come from God, giving tremendous peace for the person who embraces that. We know that Jesus is the unique one, the Son of God, who has come forth from God. No other person has come from God. And he has come back to God, And so then knowing that's true, we can have great peace. And the next thought about having great peace is because we know we're never alone. Jesus responds to the disciples saying, okay, we don't have to ask any more about this. And he says, do you now believe? And of course they do believe, but it's a pretty feeble, weak belief. And he says, behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered each to his own home and leave me alone, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. That's going to be fulfilled. And Jesus says, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. So how could Jesus possibly know that all of his disciples were going to desert him and disown him and turn from him? How could he still have peace? Well, he knew that was fulfilling prophecy, but he also knew that even if no one else was with him, even if he was totally isolated, he was not completely alone because the Heavenly Father was still with him. You see, that's the key for you to experience peace and me to experience peace. When we feel like everyone's abandoned us, things couldn't get any worse, I'm all alone, I'm all isolated, the Father is still with you. You are never alone. And on top of that, Jesus adds, you can also ponder these thoughts that I've given you to have peace. Verse 33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. So it's like he's inviting people, go back into John 13 and start reading and look at these thoughts. Ponder these thoughts. And you will experience great peace. And when your heart and mind are upset and restless, ponder these thoughts. If you're like me, it takes a while to really ponder these thoughts until they grip you. There's been times when I read the Bible, but I'm not really pondering them. I'm just reading them, and I'm not thinking about what I read. You got to quiet your heart and mind in such a way that you take the time to really ponder the thoughts of Jesus and think them through. And this is why scripture memory is so key in doing this. And then when you ponder his thoughts in this way, it removes the lack of peace you're experiencing, and it's replaced with the peace of Christ. And then the last key here to peace that Jesus talks on is that he has overcome the world. In the world, you have tribulation. I'm not going to mislead you otherwise. You're going to have lots of affliction and tribulation in this fallen world system and all of the unbelievers who don't want to believe, and the devil controls this world system and it's opposed to God. You're going to have tribulation, but take courage. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Jesus, throughout life, overcame all of the temptations, all of the pressures of the world. And he was going to go to the cross, and that's where he was going to ultimately overcome the God of this world, the ruler of this world, the devil. And in overcoming him, he would overcome the world system as well. And through the cross, he defeated the devil. He defeated and overcame this world system so we can have peace. And what's key to us is our key to experience this kind of peace is experiencing the new birth in Christ and faith in Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, bring that together. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He has overcome. And by faith in him, we experience that new spiritual birth, and we are overcomers. And then we need to keep on exercising faith, not as though we're defeated, but it's the faith with someone developing the mindset, the mentality, I too am an overcomer. Let's pray together. Let's pray that we will know more and more how tender is our Heavenly Father's love toward us, that he does love us, he cares for us, and he wants us to pray with whatever's on our heart with confidence. Let's pray for peace. And let's pray that when peace is getting away from us because we're getting worried and uptight, that we can remember these truths and experience God's peace flooding our heart and mind and emotions freshly again. And let's ask the Father that we can have an overcomer's mindset. So often we have a defeated mentality. And let's ask for that to be replaced with an overcomer's mentality, an overcomer's attitude. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can approach you as the Prince of Peace. Thank you that you have overcome the world. And when we put our faith in you, we too are overcomers. I thank you, Lord, for the aha moment that took place with the apostles where they understood, it began to grasp, they can pray with confidence. Help us to realize that and begin to pray with confidence as well. Let's also, Lord, we want to experience that we can live with peace and we can keep coming back to each time we're overcome with worry and fears, that we can go back to these truths and experience your peace, your deep and lasting peace, guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Hey, enjoyed being with you. It was great to worship God. And again, if you can, we look forward to being with you on Sunday morning. But make sure you sign up either on our website or by calling our office so you can be part of the gathered groups together.